Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today, and I hope you're ready for an empowering journey ahead. I know that since our last show, a lot has happened in our lives, from personal achievements to professional challenges. Each day has presented its own set of opportunities and obstacles. But fear not, because today we're going to take a moment to reflect on the past week together. Over the past days, we've received, again, messages from listeners just like you, seeking guidance and support for both their professional and personal lives. I want you to know that we hear you and we're here to help. Whether it's navigating the complexities of the workplace or finding balance in your everyday life, we're committed to providing you with the tools and resources you need to thrive. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Together, we will tackle challenges, celebrate victories, and empower each other to reach new heights. Remember, you're not alone on this journey. We're in this together, and together we can achieve anything. Let's make today count. And in today's episode, we'll be diving into some highlights from the past week and sharing what you can look forward to in the next 60 minutes. We start by recapping a few moments from the previous week before treating you to a song that hints at the intrigue and personality of our special guest for today. Stay tuned to hear why this song was chosen by our guest herself. Joining us today is Dr. Angela Carrick, who will be sharing insights and stories with us. Following that, I will introduce you to Inspiring Big, and to wrap things up, we will open floor to your questions, at least one, which I'm happy to answer, and to close the show. So let's dive into some sports from the last week. Iceland is the best place to be a working woman for the second year. For the second consecutive year, Iceland has been named the best country for working women, according to the Economist 2024 Glass Ceiling Index. This index evaluates gender equality in the workplace across 29 OECD countries, focusing on factors such as access to senior positions, pay equity, and work-life balance policies. Iceland excels in providing equal opportunities for women through high university completion rates, comprehensive parental leave policies, and access to senior positions in the workforce. The country's strong support of flexible work schedules and initiatives to promote gender equality solidify its top ranking. Our success can be attributed to its progressive policies and social commitment to gender equality. The government has implemented various measures to ensure that women have the same opportunities as men, including those that mandate equal pay and extensive parental leave. These policies have created an environment where women can thrive professionally without sacrificing their personal lives. Additionally, Iceland's strong representation of women in politics and business leadership roles serve as a model for other countries striving to improve gender equality. Headline 2. America and Britain fall in the Economist 2022 Glass Ceiling Index due to high childcare cost and increasing wage gap. The United States and Britain have both fallen 3 places in the Economist 2022 Glass Ceiling Index, primarily due to high childcare costs and increasing wage gaps. The wage gaps in the U.S. has risen to 72%, while in Britain it stands at 14.5%, both above the OECD average of 12%. These factors, coupled with a lack of paid parental leave in the United States, hinder progress toward workplace gender equality. High childcare costs in both countries make it difficult for women to return to work after having children, exacerbating the wage gap. And yes, the absence of mandated paid parental leave further disadvantages working mothers, forcing many to choose between their careers and family responsibilities. In Britain, while some progress has been made in providing parental leave, the high cost of childcare remains a significant barrier for working women. The decline in rankings highlights the needs for improved policies to support working parents and address wage disparities. Both the US and Britain must invest in affordable childcare and implement stronger parental leave policies to create a more equitable work environment. Addressing these issues is crucial for retaining talented women in the workforce and closing the gender gap. Nordic countries lead in gender equality. We started with Iceland, and as evidenced by their top rankings and Economist Glassing Index, Iceland, Sweden, Norway, and Finland occupy the first four spots, showcasing their commitment to equal opportunities for women and the workplace. These countries excel in higher education, job security, senior position access, and generous parental leave systems. France, ranking fifth, also demonstrates a strong support system for working women. The success of Nordic countries can be attributed to the comprehensive approach to gender equality. These nations have implemented policies that support women's education and career advancements, such as subsidized childcare, generous parental leave, and flexible work arrangements also for men. And this is important. Additional cultural attitudes in these countries emphasize the importance of gender equality, leading to higher participation rates of women in the workforce and leadership positions. So Japan, Turkey, and South Korea remain at the bottom. These countries face significant challenges in achieving gender equality due to social norms that often force women to choose between a career and family life. Low female workforce participation and minimal representation in senior roles contribute to their poor rankings. Despite ongoing efforts, these nations struggle to create an environment where women can thrive professionally. So key highlights from this Glassing Index, wage gap. The wage gap remains at 12% across the OECD, Britain, America, 14%, and 17% respectively. Women in management. Share of women in management roles increased slightly from 33.5% to 34.1%. Oh, wow. The US and Scandinavian countries have high proportions, while Japan and South Korea have the lowest. Labor force participation. Men still make up a larger proportion of the labor force than women, but the gap narrowed slightly to 14.8 percentage points. Parental leave. The US is the only OECD country without paid maternity or paternity leave, negatively impacting its ranking. Scandinavian and Eastern European countries offer the most generous leave policies. Women on boards. Women now hold 33% of board positions across the OECD, with New Zealand, France, and Denmark leading in this measure. And last but not least, educational attainment versus workforce participation. Women surpass men and university education in almost every country, but have lower workforce participation, particularly in Italy and Greece. So that was it today about the news from last week. And now let's kick off things with this song selected by Angela.
Stop you crying, it's a sign of the times. Welcome to the final show. I hope you're wearing your best clothes. You can't bribe the door on your way to the sky. You look pretty good down here, but you ain't really good. Gotta get away from here.
Sign of the Times von Harry Styles. The One Direction star was inspired by a young mother being told she's not going to make it. Discussing the lyrics of the album, Styles has revealed that he was inspired by Fundamentals, and that Sign of the Times deals with a young mother being told that she has 5 minutes left to live. Wow, what a song. Angela, welcome here on the radio show, Dr. Angela Carrick. I'm very happy to have you here. So first of all, my first question about the song, why have you chosen this song?
Hi, Annabelle. Thanks for having me. I have chosen this song because it gives me, without knowing what the background is, it gives me this sensation of something new coming and something where there is a sign, to listen to your instincts and know whether when there comes a sign that you have to move on to do something nice, something that resonates with you. And, without even listening to the lyrics, just the melody itself gives me goosebumps every time I listen to it. And,
Same to me.
it's something about the voice and, something
Yeah.
what art and what music can transmit to our feelings and to our instincts, which sometimes written words cannot, but the way this is sung and the sensation that gives you, it just gives you this courage to accept
Yeah.
that there is a sign where you need to do your next step in life. This is why I chose it.
I completely feel like you, and it's the same that when I heard the song, when you sorted it out, I really got goosebumps. It was really like, whoo, oh my God, what's happening here? And then I read the song, the lyrics, and then it was even getting deeper where I understood what Harry thought to make with and how he created it in a very absolute, outstanding way to combine this song with a meaning. Just stop your crying. And if you think it's about a mother, a young mother who is about the end of her life, with just a few days to live, and then he says, just stop your crying, have the end of your life, but take your time, no? Live your life, make the best out of your life, every second. And then I think, I mean, a rainy day could be a rainy day, yes, but a rainy day could be also a great day because I'm meeting Angela today. So there's so much more to say about it, right?
Yes, I mean, to be honest, I didn't even research why he wrote it and what's the background. But even without knowing, like for example, the line "You can't bribe the door on your way to the sky" is for me, it's saying so much. It's telling me that you need to stand up for yourself, do what you need to do, do what you want to do, not what others want to do, and
Exactly.
live your best life. And this was really emotional for me.
Yeah, and it's so important, and therefore I'm so happy that you've chosen that, Angela, because live your life, whatever comes. I think this is also it could be a motto of your life, right? I mean, we have now just 1 minute left before we step into the commercials, unfortunately, and therefore I'm doubting a bit to do the introduction because I could talk hours about your career. So maybe just one hack maybe before the break, a short hack, which is maybe co corresponding to the song and what you said make the most of your life. Maybe just one quick hack.
Just go out and dare, dare being who you want to be, and don't let yourself hold back by stories that you got from others. Just be courageous enough to go out there and be who you want to be.
Yeah, I think this is a great hack. So thank you so much. And we continue after the commercial break of approximately 3 minutes. And I'm happy to talk further then and get into the real talk with Angela. So stay tuned.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. we've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living. A people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So I'm happy to really welcome Angela now here in the show. And welcome, Angela. You are a former professional tennis player, so some might ring a bell if they hear your name. And you're a business lawyer, and you have now embarked your third career by founding a startup. Right, three careers. You had a PhD in constitutional law, and you're an attorney specializing in corporate finance. You were a partner at Morrison Foerster, one of the leading business law firms. And you are a cosmopolitan because you have Hungarian, Romanian roots. You came to Germany. So what is interesting, because we have a similarity, because I have also this roots from Hungary and Romania. Maybe we can start with that, Angela, if you're fine with that.
Sure.
Does it give you a different view on things happening in Germany, and how does it feel to live in Germany? Is this your country, or how do you feel with which country is owned by you, or don't you have this feeling? Where do you feel home? So a couple of questions, but I stop now because I have a bunch of questions for you.
Yeah, sure. So it's a very interesting question, which basically is a lifetime journey, understanding where you are and where you are, who you are. Mm-hmm. I think there are two layers on this. First is, you know, how do you feel in the country itself? Romania was always my home country. And even that I grew up as a Hungarian national mm-hmm. in Romania, I never felt Hungary as a home. So Hungary for me is just the country I traveled through.
Yeah.
So it's, nonetheless, you know, the language and my schooling and what I had is in Hungarian. Mm-hmm. So, I came to Germany when I was 16, so I didn't even speak the language. So it was really interesting to dive into a new culture, a new language. For me, it was mm-hmm. always this feeling that I'm traveling, I'm going on. I never had the feeling that I need to go back, even after the wall came down in 89. So for me, it's a lifetime journey, and I feel most at home when I'm with my family. So wherever my family is, I feel at home. But you know, most recently, this is working towards feeling home in yourself, with yourself.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
And
So this is how I would put it.
That's a great answer. And I'm not sure if it's too private, then it's of course okay if you say no, but do you want to share with us the reasons why you came to Germany?
Yeah, sure. So we came, my father and I came in 1988, which was at a time where the communist era was still ongoing, and we had no idea and basically no hope. We didn't even have a hope, because the vision of this regime falling down was not existent. So basically we left Romania in 1988. I came to play tennis. So my reason to receive a visa to leave the country, could leave the country every 2 years. We didn't even have a passport at home. So the reason was to go to the European Tennis Championships. And my father was a Alexander von Humboldt scholar fellow, yes.
Yeah.
So he was that in 1972,
oh,
before
great.
He came back to Romania. And in 88 was the time when he could still claim this fellowship. So that was the official reason, basically, why we left. But you know, that's there's so many layers around it, you know, and below it, so it's somehow it had this feeling of I need to go into freedom, because we felt that everything what is at home is what is not freedom. So we always felt going to the West is the only one and only a goal you have, basically.
Yeah.
So it was moving into freedom to escape without understanding what freedom will be when you arrive. So what are you doing with it? You know, this is like when you go, when the whole goal you have is just to go.
Yeah,
you don't go for anything. You just understand you need to go. So this was the, you know, this was basically what moved us, and so many others, not just us.
And what happened with your mother and your siblings?
My mother and my brother, they remained at home with my grandparents. Then my grandparents on my mother's side, they got a visa 2 months later, because we think that the Securitate just didn't realize we are one family. So basically we met with them, we went through the lagers in Germany, and then that was...
So you tried to find them?
Well, we knew where they are, so we went together to this... you know, to this process. And and then a year later, this upheaval started in Eastern Germany, and we still didn't believe that it moves on to Romania. You know, you always think, okay, this is like 68 in Czechoslovakia, you know, we always worried that this is going to stop or something. And then in the beginning of 1990, in January, we went back and brought my mother and my brother with us. So interestingly, Annabelle, so my brother and I, we are writing about this story. So I'm whenever we will be ready to share, I'm happy to talk more about it. But it is an absolutely fascinating inner journey. You know, you travel geographically, but you travel in your inner geography at the same time. So it is absolutely fascinating how, you know, the travel to freedom is then somehow becomes a travel to the inner freedom.
It's great how you're describing it. Your brother is younger than you, right?
My brother is 3 years younger. Yes,
he's a producer, right?
He's a theater and movie director. He is shooting series for streaming platforms, and also he's screenwriter.
Yeah.
So he's writing his own stories for the short films and the long films he's doing. So he's very much involved into, you know, giving our lives, both of our lives, basically a narrative to understand, right. You know. So basically, I understand my life just half without knowing how he perceived it and how he sees that completes me and vice versa.
It sounds like a great character. I'm very happy to getting to knowing him. We already talked about this, Angela, right? So I think
yes.
There will be a second episode of this talk, maybe together with your brother, as soon as you publish the book, and we can talk about and go deeper into this journey. But you have, of course, another journey too. And I mean, people like you or also me, I mean, I was not that good at tennis. I see my balls also landing at the net more than getting over it. But I was more in running. But if you are so much in sports, it does form your character a bit, doesn't it? And what would you say about mental strength? How much or what exactly did it bring you for your further career, but also for your personality? And how can maybe others also train that?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the mental part in every sport, doesn't matter which one, plays a huge role. And especially the better you become, the more your mental part becomes the decisive factor. So, you know, the better the athlete becomes in the physical and the tactical and, you know, all these talents they have, you actually win it in your mind or you lose it in your mind. Sometimes even before you go to the court. So it was a very interesting quote. I don't even remember. I think it was Patrick Muratoglu who said it. You know that a lot of the players on the male tour, they lose to Djokovic and Nadal and to Federer. They lose in Grand Slams because they don't even dare thinking and believing that they can win against them. So basically they lose the fight before going on court. And this process in your mind, this applies to your life as well. So I've been looking, you know, after moving out of tennis and moving into law, which was a very, very similar environment in being, you know, somehow a world for itself, a closed world for itself. But that's also about performance and also everything we do as humans. We kind of want to be better. We want to become, we want to grow. And in everything you grow, you need to first believe that you can grow, you know, first you need to believe. And sometimes we are so isolated and disconnected that we lose the belief that it is even possible to imagine ourselves differently. And, you know, this is where, you know, my brother Peter comes in so many times because imagination and ideas, this is when we look at Harry Styles, So this is when the inspiration that comes through music, through a motion picture, you know, so many times we go to movies and this is when we just start imagining that, oh, that could maybe be me, you know? So this is how you see it. And then it's a completely mental game. You just need to win the dialogue with yourself. This is why we wrote the book Winning Inside with my ex-tennis coach. There is just really one fight you need to win, and that's against your inner voice that holds you back, or your inner voice that doesn't allow you
Angela,
to think further.
But Angela, why does our inner voice tells us you don't get that, you are too weak, the weather is bad? Why don't our inner voice says, hey, you are great, you are the master of the universe? What is that which hinders us?
But there are multiple factors, right? So, but most of all, it's our inner narrative, the story we tell ourselves. This is something we get from our parents, from our grandparents. Sometimes, you know, we talked about this, sometimes even without realizing it's on an unconscious channel, it, you know, it enshrines in your cells, in your whole body, this narrative of, oh no, I'm fine. You know, are you fine? Are you really fine? Actually, you just say fine because you don't dare doing more because it's uncomfortable, yeah. Right? It's every yeah. time you want to step out of who, what the security is. Every time you think of stepping out, you're gonna go, oh my God, no, I'd rather, I'm fine, you know. But actually, we are not fine if we don't dare going out, if we don't dare becoming who we want to be, if we don't dare, you know, being as we are and not as the inner voice. You know, the inner voice can be your mom, can be your dad, can be your grandparents, can be a teacher, can be a coach. This inner voice is not a general inner voice. But, you know, this pullback that we receive is... first is the belief, and second is this tendency that we have as humans, as everyone, to stay in comfort, you know, because it doesn't take energy. It doesn't, you doesn't need to fear your fear, face your fears. You just, you think you're fine, but actually you're not, because that keeps coming back, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I was really impressed by your routine, and to don't miss this out because we just have 3 minutes left, unfortunately. I would like to talk about that. And if you want to share your routine, your stable habits, happy if you want to share this with the audience.
Sure. So I'm a very, you know, first, I'm very organized. It needs to, you know, everything has to be in order in a way. Especially since I stepped out of corporate life, I've learned, and I didn't create it myself. I learned it from the great Mel Robbins. She taught it to me. It's a morning routine, basically, which is called A, B, C, D, E, F, G. So A stands for I wake up and think to myself, whoa, awesome. I don't stay in bed. I don't start ruminating. I don't start scrolling, you know. I just start my day like an awesome day. Yeah. Then B stands for me for breathe, you know. Breathing is the connection to the outer world, to my inner body, basically. And that really calms me down. Then I have 0.6. I have a glass of 0.6 of water, which I drink. I go walking with my dog. Then I throw out something every day, which is eliminate something, or I go exercising. That stands for E. F is connecting with a friend, and G is working on something which is close to my heart, and that's my great 15 minutes a day. And she taught me that, and that gives me a stable stable base where when I tick this off, and sometimes I tick this off in 10 minutes, then I know I'm done. Whatever comes, it's a plus.
That's great, because what I like with your routine is that it's not a routine like, okay, I do a 1 hour gym and then I do a cold shower. Because then in the end, you don't do anything of this or just one thing, and your day starts with, I missed something out. Damn it. That's great. And I like that you did it with this ABC, because it's easy that you don't miss anything like,
You just pick it off. It's really important, Annabelle, to staple it. So once you staple them, then you get going into the first one, and the rest just follows, just like a habit.
Yeah.
So I hope it helps.
I hope so too. I hope that many people give a feedback on that, and I like it very much how you're doing that. We have now, I think, just 8 seconds left, so we definitely have to do a second talk, Angela. It was so great having you here, and I hope to seeing you very soon. I'm very much looking forward also to your book and your from your brother, and let's connect and talk for the next days. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Now, sweet to talk today, talked already about refugee or being not in, or living not in your homeland. I would like to talk with you today and introduce this book to you from Mary Popper, The Middle of Everywhere. Mary Popper's The Middle of Everywhere offers a poignant exploration of the immigrant experience in America, weaving together personal narratives, cultural insights, and social commentary with a remarkable empathy and depth. Through vivid storytelling, Piper brings to life the challenges and triumphs of refugees and immigrants resettling in the heartland of the United States, offering readers a compelling glimpse into the complexities of assimilation, identity, and belonging. With nuance and sensitivity, she navigates themes of culture clash, resilience, learning from yourself, and the search for home, inviting readers to reconsider their perspectives on immigration, diversity, and find their inner home. Insightful and thought-provoking, The Middle of Everywhere serves as a powerful reminder of the human stories behind the headlines, illuminating the rich tapestry also of immigrant communities. Mary is a renowned psychologist, author, and culture and anthropologist known for her groundbreaking work on mental health and social issues. With a career spanning several decades, Piper has authored numerous bestsellers, including Reviving a Failure and The Shadow of Each Other, earning acclaim for her compassionate exploration of human experiences. Drawing from her background in clinical psychology and her passion for social justice, Piper brings a unique perspective to her writing, blending academic rigor with personal insights to tackle complex topics with grace and empathy. The Middle of Everywhere delves into the experiences of refugees and immigrants resettling in America's Southland, offering a completely home portrayal of their struggles and triumphs. Against the backdrop of a rapidly changing world, Piper explores the challenges of cultural adaptation, language barriers, and the quest for belonging faced by newcomers to the United States and to everywhere. Through intimate interviews and firsthand accounts, she sheds light on the resilience and resilience of individuals and families navigating the complexities of displacement and resettlement, offering readers a deeper understanding of immigrant experiences. How does it feel if you leave your home? I would like to share 7 tips from the book. First, embrace cultural humility. Approach interactions with immigrants and refugees with an open mind and willingness to learn from their experience. Foster community connections. Support organizations and initiatives that provide resources and assistance to immigrants, because it could be you. Advocate for policy change. Work to reform immigration policies and systems to ensure fair and humane treatment for all newcomers who need help. Prioritize language access. Recognize the importance of language service and education in facilitating the integration and help where you can. Promote and support cultural exchange. Encourage cross-cultural dialogue and engagement to first understanding and appreciation of diversity. And support trauma-informed care. Recognize how the impact is and talk about this and share the information. And amplifies immigrant voices. Elevate the voices and experiences of immigrants and refugees in conversations about immigration and diversity. Then I want to give you 5 quotes from the author. Immigrants enrich the fabric of our society with their resilience, diversity, and unique perspective, and their braveness to take away to coming here and to give up their home. In the midst of uncertainty and upheaval, immigrants demonstrate remarkable courage and resilience in their pursuit of a better life. Cultural diversity is not a threat, but a source of strength, enriching our communities and broadening our horizons. As a nation of immigrants, we have a moral obligation to welcome and support those who seek refuge and opportunity on our shores. In embracing our shared humanity, we can build a more inclusive and compassionate society for all. Diversity means also creativity, and diversity means more richness and culture, and our thoughts widening to our systemic thinking and collaborative acting. And now I would like to read from this book, and it's a book with many pages, and it was hard for me to figure out that what I want to read, because I would have loved to read everything. I finished this book on refugees in Nebraska. September 9th and September 10th, my husband and I flew to Canada. This was our first vacation in a year, a well-earned vacation, a time to catch up on laughter, sleep, hikes, and novels. We drove from Calgary to cabin nestled along Baker Creek in the valley between Castle Rock and Storm Mountain. On our way, we stopped to watch caribou and mule deer. The bushes and grasses were turning mauve and rose, the aspens golden. In the late afternoon sunlight, we marveled at the luxury of living cradled in these mountains for a week. Tuesday morning, we woke early and planned our first hike. As we walked out in a blue and gold day, a man stopped us and asked if we were Americans. When we nodded, he said, "Some terrible things are happening in your country. You'd better go to the basement gym and watch television." We sat on folding chairs with other tourists for several hours. No one talked. We just watched and cried. At first, I was in shock. Then, slowly, I began to piece together the personal implications. I worked with 3 publishing companies in New York, and I worried if my friends were safe. My daughter was scheduled to fly to DC from Cape Town, South Africa, Tuesday morning. Where was she? Canadian-United States border and the airports were closed. How would we get home? Yet never had my own little life looked so pretty. There were bigger issues. How many people were dead? What does this mean for America? What would happen to my refugee friends? Was it the world as we knew it gone? Later, we walked outside into the crisp September afternoon. The world had changed, and the world was the same. Same golden aspen and purple grasses, the same ripe rose hips and rushing water over smooth gray stones. We were safe in a beautiful place, but we weren't thinking and feeling what we'd planned to be thinking and feeling. As I looked through our binoculars for grizzlies and mountain sheep, I was thinking, is my editor dead? Are people trapped under the rubble right now, scared and in pain? I imagined how frightened the passengers on the hijacked jets must have been, and I kept hearing imaginary airplanes. Watching the river, my husband said sadly, no matter how crazy we humans act, the water keeps on flowing. The beautiful time and place seemed to deliberately induce irony and contrast. The silver glaciers, emerald forests, and turquoise lakes humbled us. I kept thinking about all this scared beauty in our sad, deformed world. On 9/11, the book I had just finished seemed meaningless. The middle of everywhere felt like it had been written in and for a world that no longer existed. But later this afternoon, as I tried to read the books I brought with me, one on the sandhills under the dust bar and another on the life of Ben Franklin, I realized they were irrelevant too. On September 11, everything was irrelevant. Only jihad and death seemed to matter. Fortunately, time didn't stop on September 11. As weeks passed, we all began to put our terrible tragedy into perspective. My book began to seem applicable to the new world, maybe even more than so than before. Refugees were still here, and they were even more beleaguered. A Kurdish family calls to say, we are confused and frightened and cannot eat. We have been harassed at work for being Muslim. Mom told me, Bintu and I fear we have brought the war from Sierra Leone to America. We thought America was safe. Now we don't know where to run. And I would like to read a bit from the end. We are all here now. On a sunny Saturday in July, my husband and I walked into our farmers' markets, which is down by the train station in the oldest part of town. We walked by Jim's friend of 30 years who was selling sweet corn. Gary looked hot and harried, so Jim stopped and gave him a quick shoulder rub. Gary smiled gratefully and began to joke again with his customers. We walked past various brightly colored displays of super soynuts, kolaches, gourmet mushrooms, sausage, and prairie flowers. A Latino family sold gladiolas, iris bulbs, and catnip. Besides them, a man offered a great green onion sausage. Its spicy pork flavor filled the air. An Italian man and his son stood behind four jars of homemade pasta sauce. An aged Vietnamese couple of salt, bean paste dumplings, and egg rolls. Women in hijabs examined tomatoes alongside women in shorts and tank tops. I noticed Fatima and Dina sitting on the edge of the phone and giggled together just as they did at secondary school. They greeted me happily and Fatima said, Miss Mary, please take our picture. And I hugged them and asked them to smile for the cameras. It seems that all was good. I photographed and I took a note. As I looked at our truck's beds of sweet corn nectarines later, our boots for tomatoes in red, our neighbors and musicians' friends, refugees and old-timers, the blue sky above and the gladiolas and coneflowers below, I thought to myself that my healing package is my hometown. On a morning like this, it's the best healing package for us all. And I hope that you liked a bit of that. I hope that you picked up what means something to you. Have you taken something away for yourself? Maybe it perhaps piqued your curiosity and interest enough to want to read the book. And if any of you have book recommendation you'd like to share here, or if you've written an own book yourself that you'd like to see featured, please reach out to me. I'm very happy to present your book and present a story behind. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that are challenging, situations we may not want to discuss with our family, friends, or partners right now. Here is one question which we'll discuss here anonymously to protect your privacy, while still providing helpful answers to you and others. Hey, Clara, I hear you. And thank you for your words. I'm Clara, and I have a fantastic job that really takes up all my time. Sometimes I wonder what else life could bring me. But in my current situations, I can't do anything other than work. I truly enjoy it. I do. I'm in the media industry, working as an editor and moderator. Many people know me, and it's just fun to always be dealing with news, amazing people, attending many great news and events, and hanging out with cool folks. But life seems to rush by me. And with me, and sometimes I don't even feel if I'm just in a hamster wheel. Oh, a very cool one, but has just a grip on me that I only realize it when it's too late. How can I break free without having to leave? How can I explore what else life has to offer without losing this cool job and my current life? Actually, I'm doing well, but feel there's something more out here. I'm afraid of waking up one day and realizing I missed out on other aspects of life. Or maybe I wake up and I'm really seriously ill. How do I find balance and ensure I'm living fully? So, and that was my response, Clara, to you and also everyone. Clara, your situation is both exciting and challenging. It's clear that your job brings you immense joy and fulfillment. Maybe it feels sometimes like adrenaline, but it also seems to dominate your life to the point where you worry about missing out on other experiences. This is a common concern for many people who are deeply passionate about their careers, but feel a pull of wanting more from life. Firstly, it's important to acknowledge your success and the know you derive from your work, because it's great and wonderful thing that you love what you do. However, your feelings of being in a hamster wheel indicate a need for balance and a richer and more varied life experience. To address this, start by accessing your daily routine. Are there small pockets of time that could be reclaimed for personal exploration? Consider integrating brief moments of reflection activities. And it's crucial to set boundaries. Even if you love your job, it's healthy to have time that's solely yours. This could mean setting firm limits to our working hours and ensuring you have a day each week dedicated to non-work activities. Another key aspect is to reconnect with hobbies or interests that might have sidelined. Perhaps there are passions you had before your career. Consider also the people in your life, building deeper connections with friends and family. So here are five concrete tips to help you finding a balance. Schedule my time. Dedicate specific times each week for activities that are just for your enjoyment and your relaxation for nobody else. Explore new interests. Sign up for a class or activity, or just use the other side of the streets to check out what's there and maybe great houses, architecture, designs. Set boundaries, clearly define work hours and stick to them, because this is your promise for yourself. And seek support. Consider speaking with others about how you feel. It doesn't need to be a therapist, of course. It could be your best friend. But somebody like a coach can help you navigate the balance between work and personal life. And remember, Clara, it's about finding your inner harmony. Strengthen your resilience. And be respectful to yourself. Your job is a significant part of your life, but it's not entirely of it. Great that you got it. Embracing a holistic approach will allow you to enjoy the best of both worlds and lead a more fulfilled and balanced life. So thank you for your question. And I hope that you have taken also something for yourself from that. So, that wraps up our episode of We Empower, unfortunately, the weekly radio show dedicated to celebrating the strengths, resilience, and limitless potential of women and, of course, also men about around the globe. Join us again next week as we continue on this empowering journey, sharing real stories of triumph, upliftment, and empowerment.